Hi everyone. This is a quick notice to help you stay safe on WhatsApp. Please take note that no one in Stream Globe will ever contact you, call you, or send you any message requesting for any code or any number to participate in any kind of meeting. That is a scammer's trick. Also, if you're on any of our WhatsApp groups and any member of your WhatsApp group sends you unsolicited personal messages, feel free to report such a person to WhatsApp and they will automatically be blocked from sending you further messages. You can also report such a person's number to an admin in your WhatsApp group so such people can be removed from the group. Please stay safe on WhatsApp and remember to share Stream Globe devotional with your friends and contacts on WhatsApp. Let's spread the gospel through this wonderful platform. We invite you to tune in to the Stream Globe online radio. This is a 24-hour radio service providing you with the best of gospel music, sound Christian teachings, and your favorite Stream Globe devotionals. Share the link with a friend. You will find the link around the end of every devotional text.
Hello and welcome to Stream Globe Daily Devotional. Your host is Pastor S.D. Abraham.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled Grace and Relationship with God. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall be taking our Bible reading from John chapter 1 verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came about through Jesus Christ. I have just read from the New English Translation. Mr. Ade wanted to have his closest relationship with his children, but this could only happen when his children had grown up. He was willing to wait while they were still children. Mr. Ade had many rules and regulations for them, for when they were to wake up, wash their mouths, sleep, etc. He did this because they were not yet mature enough to understand the right way to do things. They thus needed rules and regulations to get by. Why are the law and grace put side by side in today's Bible text? Because they came for the same purpose of making man walk in the truth of God. But the law could not do this because man could not keep it. The law ended up leaving humankind with the burden of guilt. This made him know he could never be righteous by his own strength. Grace was given to help us walk in the righteousness of God. This righteousness is revealed as we walk from faith to faith. There are those who want to walk in grace but fail because they try to do so with the old consciousness of law and sin. What God wants in man is a relationship, one filled with mutual love. That is why I believe that before Adam and Eve sinned, God usually came to fellowship with them in the cool of the day. See Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. When you truly know and love God, you cannot but trust Him, love Him, and seek to please Him. Using laws as the basis of your relationship with God only proves that you have not grown to truly know and love Him. Those who know and love God relate with Him in love, not mechanically with laws. Believers who continue walking in the flesh do so because they are still spiritual babies who don't care much about communing with the Father. They only care about what they can get. The problem with such is that walking in the flesh as a believer ultimately produces spiritual death. Go into today knowing that the grace of God empowers you to walk in the love of God. Pray like this. Ask the Lord to help you know Him and walk in His love. In Jesus' name. Our yearly Bible reading plan for today shall be taken from Romans chapter 7 to chapter 8. Now, this Bible reading plan is continuous. So if you begin with us today, for example, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The audio comes up next, Romans chapter 7 to chapter 8.
Do you not know, brothers and sisters? For I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, If she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were controlled by our sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. You know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful humanity to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in human flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind controlled by the sinful nature is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, or give to this work, visit our website at streamglobe.org.